Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres keep winning.
The Sabres are in last place in the East for the first time since December 14th. Let's rage!
Has it really been that long?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're not in last place in the Boston.
Which is so much better.
I had to help all of you when I had to contain my excitement just now and shuffled myself 3 feet back from the microphone to do that.
You also didn't turn your microphone on.
That is even better.
I didn't realize it had been that
You're welcome. Again, containing excitement. You knew it. You knew the assignment. You understood.
Oh,
Josh Schmidt doing great things on the board as per usual. I'm snarky excited about that.
Like, yeah. Because
like, they're not doing it.
They're not dead last, but they're close.
Let's be Labatt crystal clear on that one. They're not doing it.
No.
How evil would it be? This is the scenario I said with one of my friends last night. Zach, over the last few years, they cannot solve the Philadelphia Flyers. They're one of like two teams that are like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that they went on just a crackhead run.
Yeah.
Who's waiting for them at the end of the season with the playoffs on the line?
Philadelphia. Last game of the year.
If they go on some sort of like miracle run. Hollywood would say that's too scripted.
It's not going to happen. They have, Tampa and Boston this weekend, one of those back-to-backs.
First of all, let's not call Boston a threat anymore.
Still a back-to-back.
Boston's about to pull a Buffalo streak here. They're at nine.
Yeah, they're nine. We'll get more on the Sabres here in just a little bit. Though, we do want to start today with our coverage of the NFL owners' meetings. It's not live from Palm Beach, Florida. I believe our own Sacapaccio is back. But our coverage of the NFL owners' meetings is brought to you by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Visit windownation.com. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Yeah, welcome. I'm doing well. It's not sunny Palm Beach. It is partly sunny Buffalo.
I know. I was going to say, I'm sorry. It's so cold this morning.
I was ready to say, you can't flex on us today, Capaccio. Nice try.
Yeah, I know. It was good, though. It was good. Had a really productive week. Got a lot done. Obviously, the Pequelli stuff to start off the week. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, lots of league stuff over the last couple of days. So whatever... whatever you guys want to touch on, a lot of stuff yesterday with the rules, obviously. So, you know, really, really a lot happening this week in Palm Beach at the owners' meetings.
Yeah, the rules sort of took the kind of headlines here. Ultimately, the one that was really the headliner, nothing changed. It's tabled to a later date, that being the tour's push. But Sal, what did you kind of take away from I guess, ultimately this week as it got started this weekend? What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think league-wide, yeah, that there's a lot of still polarization on the tush push, right? I mean, I think that's a big deal right now. And there's a lot of, let's start there from what I took away, which is, you know, there's just language in the way that it's written that people are still kind of going back and forth on. Now, guys, they have a split vote of 16-16, from what I understand. You need 24 to pass a new rule. So, but think about that. You know, it's that divided on the tush push. It's 16-16 amongst the 32 teams. And part of the reason why you're not getting closer to having the 75% is there is some language even where people who might be in support of banning it saying, well, what are we doing here? Like, what exactly does this say? So it says immediately after the snap. Does Josh Allen go immediately after the snap? I'm using him as an example here, right? He steps to the left. Like, what does that look like? I was also told that there's defensive teams, coaches raising the concern of, wait a minute, why are you allowed to push when we can't push on defense when it comes to a field goal? Why can't we push off somebody? Right. You know what I mean? Like there's so many layers here. That's amazing when you think about, right? And there was even a suggestion from somebody in the room. Now, when I say in the room, you have the competition committee with and then all the NFL execs. Then you have basically every head coach, every GM. And I think owners, if they as well, if they want to participate or somebody proxy, whatever. But I think all of them are in this room together talking about this stuff. And I think competition committee is kind of sits at the head, if you will, like a wedding. Right. I mean, I'm envisioning it. I've never been in the room myself, but this is how it explained to me. And then everybody else has a chance to talk, though, and raise their hand and say things about this because they're all, you know, stakeholders in this. And somebody in the room said, you know, why don't we just go back to the pre-2004 rule that said, you can't push or pull anyone anywhere on the field. It's aiding the runner. This is the point I've made many times. You guys know that. I think aiding the runner has been a part of football. It's been against it for many years, but they got rid of it 21 years ago. And the reason they got rid of it was officials were having a tough time discerning what was aiding and what wasn't at certain points on the field, down the field, in a big pile, who's doing it, who's not doing it. I said, let's just get rid of it. That's kind of why the tush push started, because there's no rule against it. I'm whoever did that. Hey, good job. I'm with you.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I've heard so many callers bring that up too. Where it's like it just randomly happened. No one knows why. And
a few years ago, just out of nowhere, Philadelphia has this thing here, Sal.
Well, they did a great job of looking at the rules and saying we're allowed to do this, right? Yep. We can do this. I mean, you think about it too. Everyone thinks this is just the quarterbacks and the data. And it's not just about quarterbacks. It's centers. The center for the team that was the best ever at doing it, the Eagles from a couple of years ago, and they're still the best at it, Jason Kelce hated the play because of what it did to his body. Deion Dawkins was on radio last week saying he doesn't like the play either because of what it does to his body. But what about defenders and what it's doing to them and how they're getting crunched up in the middle? Look, I'm presenting the side of why people don't want it. And then there's the other side of, dude, if you don't like it, stop it. It's a play. One thing that really stood out to me yesterday when Rich McKay was talking, competition committee member, you know, he mentioned a couple times, and I've heard this, is it more of a rugby player or a football player? We have football plays, right? Like, I'm paraphrasing how he put it, but it was interesting because I think that's actually a part of the discussion of people saying, that's not football, that's rugby. We don't play rugby. I just think it's fascinating.
I've been radicalized by all this tush push talk now. I'm pretty much done with it. I'm ready to be like, nope. The only reason I want it banned now is just so I can stop hearing about having to say the words tush push over and over again, Sal. So I do want to move on to one that was changed, a rule that was changed, and something that I found out you and I kind of shared the same wavelength on here, Sal. The touchback being moved to the 35-yard line. And my biggest question to Zach yesterday on this show was, why are we just not moving kickers back if they're showing to be too good?
It's a really good question. So I took that question to Darren Rizzi. Darren Rizzi is a special teams coordinator who's been a part of the competition committee crafting these rules for the last couple of years. And I asked that question to Darren Rizzi. Why don't you just move the kicker back? He said, you know what? We had a lot of discussion about it, and there's a lot of appetite for that. But here's the reason that he gave, which is you have to still land the ball in the landing zone, as you guys know, right from the 20 to the goal line. So even if you move the kickers back, the kickers are good. They're still strong enough to kick it through the end zone, right, if you really wanted to do that. And they're still very good at being able to put it in the landing zone. But when the weather starts to turn, it's tougher to do that. Think about playing golf in poorer conditions than pristine conditions, where you're going to have to control the ball a little bit more. You have to think about the wind. You have to think about the wet weather, things like that. Well, the thought is from colder weather teams, it's a bit disadvantageous to them because if they want to land at the landing zone, that's tougher for their kicker to do late in the season. So they don't want to have teams that simply play outdoors, colder weather cities, to have a disadvantage when it comes to that because it's a little bit tougher to actually pinpoint what you want to do with the ball as a kicker in those situations. Now, he did say to me, hey, the UFL is doing this. They're actually putting, I think they're going to the 35 for touchbacks, and they're moving the kicker back. He said, but the thing is about the UFL, they play in the spring. They don't have these weather concerns. That's the reason he gave.
Sal, you brought it up yesterday, too, when talking about it, and this is maybe where I took it, too, is that teams maybe now are going to look more at kick returners. Like you've brought up, the Bills yes. Now have brought in Laviska Shenault. They already had Brandon Codrington. And for me, like that's where I got excited about this even a few weeks ago when this was first pitched as an idea, because I think teams' defenses will be worried about just that, even just the 5-yard bonus the offenses will get. You can argue for some of these teams, they gain 9 yards on that opening drive and they're going to go for it on fourth down. They're already in a comfortable enough position, depending on the team, to go for it. And I'm all for bringing returners back. Like, even with the new kickoff rules, I still found it to be close to kind of a meaningless play. I didn't really care for it still. I think this is another direction to maybe make the play more fun, like it had been kind of even before I started watching football.
Yeah, this is such a, like, broader type of context with the kickoffs. It's not just increasing returns. That is a big part of it. They want to return. They want more returns, guys. I mean, The NFL has, and this is partly why they moved the extra point back. It's actually the reason why they moved the extra point back several years ago, which is we want every play to matter where someone doesn't leave the living room to go get something to drink and say the next play doesn't matter, right? A kickoff had become that because teams just kicked it out of the end zone. Ah, you start at the 20. Well, guess what? Let's have them start at the 30 and see what happens. And it worked. There were more kickoff returns last year, no doubt about it. They also did what they really intended, which is decrease injuries. If we're going to do this, let's put the two sides closer to each other. You can't start until the ball is caught. Now you don't have these speeds of guys running 60 yards down the field each other in these high-speed collisions. The speed decreased. They talk about all this. The speed of the players decreased. The rate of collision rate decreased. The concussion rate decreased. It actually leveled off to last year. What the league data shows, the concussion rate on kickoffs actually leveled out to what the same concussion rate is on regular scrimmage plays. Okay, so it had been higher. Then here's the other part about this. And I didn't think about this, and Darren Rizzi brought it up to me. Punts are actually plays that they'd rather kind of not see. They're a little boring. You want to see scoring. You want to see moving.
Mm-hmm.
But also punts, I guess, have even more of an injury rate than kickoffs. And you could think you think about that with gunners and punt returners getting hit, whatever. But that's what they said. That's what the data shows. And he said by moving the kickoff up, they actually reduced punting a lot because what you just said, Zach, teams only need a first down to be near midfield. At that point, you might be punting, but you're so close to either kicking a field goal, going for it in a fourth down situation. So now they're going to do it even more. By moving the touchback up, they've effectively also decreased the amount of punting in the league.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
I'm thinking about the guy that's like trying to chase down the play,
yep.
And he gets that blindside lookout block. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of those injuries also happen there. Sal, my last question on this is going to be, are there going to be a lot of coaches that still take a philosophy change and not being afraid of 5 more yards up the field and still blast it out of the end zone anyway?
I guess there can be. You know what I think is going to happen? Derek, who knows, right? I mean, I think that last year I was really into this last year, thinking about, like, what is each team going to do? I really think it's specific to your team. Here's the scenario I'll present to you guys. Let me throw this back at you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're facing Josh Allen, do you want them to start at the 35-yard line?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Right. If you're facing a rookie quarterback who hasn't figured it out yet, are you a little bit more willing to have him start at the 35-yard line?
Probably.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a respect factor,
Yeah, I think there's your answer. I think that this is going to come down to maybe less about the kick return itself and more about what offense are we facing. And, hey, I'm not giving Patrick Mahomes, I know last year they weren't as good on, but I'm using the quarterback as an example here. You know, I'm not giving the Ravens defense starting field position at 35. Sorry, just not doing that. I'll take my chances and make them return it. So Darren Rizzi said 84% of the returns last year started at the 34 or back. All right, so there, if that means, think about this, 16% or more, 16%, sorry, started at the 35-yard line or above. How many teams really want that? Because we're already seeing data where teams don't want 34 and back. You know, you're not, you don't want to be in that upper echelon of that starting field position there. So you want to make sure it's starting back. That's why the 35 is a bit of a key number here as well. But I think it's going to come down to quarterbacks and, you know, basically game-to-game situational football.
Cleveland's going to see so many touchbacks, you won't even know what hit them. Huh?
I know, right?
I also,
and it could come, and it's going to be the returner too. I mean, you know, if you have a guy like if the Bills, if Laviska Shenault is on the team, I don't even know if he makes the team, but if he is and he's, you know, the dynamic kick returner, hey, you know, keep it away from him. Devin Duvernay just signed with the Bears. Like, that's why teams are doing this. They're like, hey, you're not going to kick it out, or you're not going to kick it to our, we will take it at the 35 or risk our guy bringing it back on you.
I'm also thinking, like, I'm all the way back. Like, I was last year with the new kickoffs and, like, kind of, like, going through the theories. I'm all the way back with that now because I'm thinking, like, in the middle of a game. Like, let's say the Patriots, Drake May, they're deciding, nah, May's not going to beat us. So, they, you know, touchbacks. And all of a sudden, it's 14-3 going into the second quarter that just score quickly. And you see mid-game that kind of decision change. And then all of a sudden, what does that do to sort of the mentality of the game? Because, you know, Twitter's everybody going to be, you know, they disrespected them or you know, now they're showing them too much respect, what have you. I like the idea that that's going to change potentially in the middle of a game. And you kind of got to react to it. Like, that's right there. That makes the kickoff more exciting to see how it goes. Sal.
And I would say they didn't change the point of if the ball lands in the landing zone and then goes through the end zone, the other team only gets it at the 20. I wonder if you're going to see teams really try to train their kickers as best they can. Yeah, these kickers are great, but you can't just do this on a whim. Like, you got to be really good and proficient. I wonder if their teams are going to try to train their kickers to really drill it on a line drive, land in that landing zone, and roll out, because then you get it at the 20.
Yeah. Okay, now this, yeah, I'm in.
Okay, now I've been convinced. Yesterday I wasn't really for it. Now I'm in.
Because that whole thing.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
But thank you for the added nuance on that, because, like, you had a nice discussion about that yesterday with Mike, and I was like, you know what? I need to make sure that I ask Sal about this, because I was anti, you know, touchback ruling and more of why not move the kicker back? Because he has all the field to roam, and he still would have all the field to roam.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, well, we'll see how teams approach it. Everybody's going to be a little different here, guys. And, you know, I'm again, like last year, I'm kind of – let's remember, the Bills have a new special teams coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Chris Tabor. Chris Tabor was not in football last year. He's renowned. I will tell you, I've talked to enough people who believe the Bills had a massive upgrade in special teams coordinator. No disrespect to Matthew Smiley, but he was still a guy that he had been a first-time coordinator, and we saw some gaffes last year. I'm telling you, I talk to enough people in this league, other special teams coordinators, who say, oh yeah, like, you need to prepare for Chris Tabor. He'll be ready, he'll be buttoned up, he'll be prepared. But I will also remind people, he didn't do this last year. So this is his first year dealing with the kickoff rules.
Yeah, so that adds another wrinkle to it right there. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, going away from the rules, I did want to get your thought, if you saw this yesterday, the stuff going on with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones deciding to just not talk to Micah Parsons' agent, offering him a record-breaking contract. Parsons going on Twitter saying that he's not going to sign until his agent's available. What even are the Cowboys anymore at this point? Someone's got to pull a coup in Dallas. It feels like Jones has just lost the plot.
So here's what I think about the Dallas Cowboys, that they've kind of operated that it, over the last, you know, I guess really 20 years, the better part of it at least, they feel they're the Dallas Cowboys and they don't have to do anything special or different. Or they don't have to go, like, everybody should come to them. And because they're the Cowboys, you're going to want to play for us and I don't need to go and do anything to make sure I keep you. I think they've operated with that hubris mentality. And it's shown that that's not correct. A, they're not winning, and B, there's, you know, a lot of other options around there that teams, you know, I mean, I guess when you think about it, like this generation of player, when have they seen the Cowboys win? Like when I grew up, guys, the Cowboys were called America's team. Okay, they wore the star on their helmet, and the reason they were called America's team is they won a lot.
Yeah.
And everybody gravitated to them. Just like you see in a lot of sports and all these really great teams and, you know, people, all the kids just start watching them. You know, the 70s and then the early 80s, they were okay, and then they get better again in the 80s. Then the 90s, of course, right? The 90s, they come back with Aikman and Emmitt and, you know, Michael Irvin and those guys, and they win again. That's a long time ago. Guys playing in the NFL weren't even alive in the early 90s to see that. The Cowboys haven't been relevant as far as winning football games and playoff games in a long time. You can't just operate like you're the Dallas Cowboys and everyone needs to do what you want them to do.
Yeah, and me and Derek were talking about it before the show started, because I wanted to bring this point up. It's, you know, no one loves to brag more, Jerry Jones, about some risky decision he made 36 years ago. Like, and I think that like that is exactly like that. Your point, where like
yeah.
He still operates like it's 1989 and he just bought the Dallas Cowboys when no one told him to. It's like, Jerry, I'm going to be 27 at the end of this month. I've never seen the Cowboys be legitimately good for a stretch of period of time. I've never seen it. I've seen the Cowboys be the brand. I've seen them do a lot of reality TV shows like Hard Knocks. Their cheerleaders got a reality TV show on Netflix. I've seen all that, but I've never seen the America's Team Cowboys. And I'm the player he's trying to sign, like my age group.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's right. And I think that's important here, right? But it's a business for everybody. And it's not, and again, and look, Dak is a really good quarterback, but he hasn't had the best couple of years. And, you know, he's, last couple of years, he hasn't been as great. I guess a couple of years ago, he was in the MVP conversation for sure. But I mean, 2 years ago, but, you know, he's not Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson. You know, it's funny. And to this point you're making, so how this relates to what I'm saying is Matt Bove made this point, and it's always game day in Buffalo. I don't want to steal his point. I want to bring his point here because I think it's right. If you really want to know the true value of Josh Allen, yes, he's the most valuable player in the league. He's amazing. He's elite. You could argue he's the best football player in the NFL. But look at these extensions they're signing and some of these guys to team-friendly deals.
Yes.
Because they're saying, oh, yeah, I want to play with Josh Allen. I'm going to have a chance to win. Right? Like, the Cowboys don't have that. They have Dak Prescott, a really nice quarterback. He's not Josh Allen. He's not one of these MVP guys. And they're not knocking on the door of championships. That's truly, too, the value of Josh Allen. I do want to say, though, I used to be very anti-Jerry Jones. Because when I was growing up, or a little bit, and, you know, young adult, Jerry was the big bad, oh, my God, the Cowboys, all this oil money, and I'm just going to do everything my way and screw the rest of the league and these small market teams. I'm going to keep all this revenue from marketing, all these deals on the side. And here he had Ralph Wilson, small market. Are the Bills ever going to leave Buffalo? We were always worried about that. He's not going to pay for the top players. He did for a while. We were always worried about that. I'm telling you, though, over the last 10 to 15 years, I've had a major shift because it's deserved. Jerry Jones is really great for the league.
100%.
And I think that should be known because Jerry Jones, I will tell you, there are people, I don't know if it goes recognized how much he's done to help every team, including the Bills. Jerry Jones was a very big proponent, not an opponent, a proponent of a new stadium in Buffalo to keep the Bills in Buffalo. Like, he helped that along the way. He actually is the, what is the new concession? Legends. That's his group. legends. They're going to be the concessions. They're helping build the stadium, construction. Like, Jerry's a big part of that. I think one of the things that's happened with the Cowboys, and I know this sounds weird because I want to, like you, this is great, but it also, if you're a Cowboys fan, it kind of sucks too. I think Jerry has taken more pride almost in being a steward of the NFL than a steward of the Dallas Cowboys in a lot of ways, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's right. And Sal, I'm really glad you brought that up because of how much of the Dallas Cowboy brand is Jerry Jones, him being the general manager, the president, and of course the owner, and then his family having, you know, key roles within the organization. It can be lost at just how much he has been maybe the focal member in what has now become the modern NFL and the business model that it is today, where without question, the NFL has overtaken the NBA in Christmas, without question.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is obviously the schedule stuff we can get to. But, yeah, I just think it's worth pointing out real quick on the Jerry Jones discussion. The league teams, including here in Buffalo, have a lot to be thankful to have Jerry Jones a part of the league because a lot of the decisions and way he steers and has a voice in that room. So I'm not saying he's the reason, like the Bills exist or the Bengals exist. That's not what I'm saying. But he has really seen the big picture, much like Pete Rozelle and early days, like those guys and Ralph Wilson back in the early days when they started and they had the AFL and the merger. Like, he has really seen the big picture of the league and help it grow. And I think that needs to be recognized league-wide because that wasn't the case for a long time ago, but it definitely is the case now. Christmas. So I tweeted out a report that from The Athletic, and it is that the Chiefs have apparently gone to the league and asked if they can be featured on Christmas every year, much like the Lions and Cowboys on Thanksgiving. They have played each of the last 2 years. This is in conjunction with the league saying yesterday they are going to play 3 games on Christmas Day this year, 2 on Netflix, 1 on Amazon Prime. Yes, the NFL is here to stay on Christmas, and I believe now it has become the NFL's day even more than the NBA's day. I think ratings showed that last year.
If the Chiefs are on Christmas every year, call me the Grinch or Ebenezer Scrooge, because, like, bah humbug at this point, you know?
Well, I'll give you another one here, Derek. Think about this. They're going to be on Christmas if they are on this year. They do come to Buffalo this year, and the Bills are the Hallmark movie.
Oh,
and
that
would kind of fit.
I don't know. CBS would rather start a war than lose Bills Chiefs at 425.
Yeah, that's true, but they've done it. But it's not CBS's call. Yeah. It's not CBS's call.
I know.
It's the league schedule maker's call. Hey, that's a great discussion. So every year I talk at Mike North, you know, on the podcast. We'll do that again this year, hopefully, me and Matt Bove. And people wonder how that works. Like, is it just, CBS protects? There's no protecting games before the schedule comes out. None. What does happen, though, is the NFL is thoughtful about where these games land, saying, look, CBS had Bills Chiefs last year, or NBC had it the year before, and they kind of try to spread the love a little bit. You know what I mean? Where was it last year? The game was CBS, wasn't it? Was it 425?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, to me, that's saying, okay, well, you had them last year. Maybe someone else gets them this year. Just think about that.
Yeah, the last few years, too. It's been this weird run where Chiefs not primetime.
I'm just ready for, like, CBS to, like, have covert operatives sneaking into the league's offices and making sure to hack in there and be like, Bills Chiefs, CBS.
425.
They do make some, like, they do make a little bit of, like, I guess, side deals sometimes of, hey, listen, we're going to flex this one game this year that you really wanted, but we're going to give you that next year. Give you something. Like, they do things like that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll make sure you get it. So anything can happen. And what I don't know is, did the Chiefs ask to be the home team on Christmas? I don't know. Maybe that's – and that's if that's the case, it wouldn't be the Bills this year, obviously. But it wouldn't mean the Bills couldn't play still on Christmas. Guys, I think I think the Bills are very much in the mix to be either on Christmas or Black Friday this year. Heck, maybe both.
Yep, fully agree. Sal, before we let you go here.
I hate that.
Black Friday I'll take. Christmas, I'll be upset.
Because you and I said it when Sal asked that yesterday, immediately.
Black Friday, 100%. Yeah. Sal, though, before we let you go here, league meetings are over with. What's next on the schedule? It appears the draft is probably the next thing because the next meeting's right are in May.
Yeah, so we got league stuff and you got Bills stuff. The next thing for the Bills is today, guys. Christian Benford's going to meet with the media at noon to talk about his contract extensions. How about that?
There we go.
So we'll hear from Christian Benford today. And then You know, you got the Bills can always sign players. We know that. A lot of times you get a couple signings before the draft because they want to make sure they're not in a position where they reach because they don't have a certain position set to where they want it by the time they get to the draft. So that can always happen at any point. The draft's a little bit earlier this year. It's April 24th, so it's 3 weeks from tomorrow night. We usually get Brandon Bean for a press conference some point then. And guys, by the way, the Bills start their off-season workout program the week of the NFL draft on that Monday. How about that? So yeah, you can that's going to be happening. So, but the draft is the next order of business on the league calendar.
Very, very busy month. The draft starts April 24th in Green Bay. Sal, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. And just one more time, we'll get that read in as WGR's coverage of the NFL owners' meetings live from Palm Beach, Florida earlier this week. And now, of course, Buffalo Today with Sal Capaccio is brought to you by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Visit windownation.com. Got to take a quick time out here if you want to join the discussion, some of the rule change stuff, the schedule as well, or some draft talk as well, because we are less than a month away from the first round. And I did see a number of mock drafts that have the Bills trading out of the first round. Love to talk that. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.